Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
North Carolina ranked 46th last year in teacher pay, and the lack of a raise this session will only make the ranking worse. Many teachers are now considering leaving for neighboring states where they can make as much as $10,000 more. Dr. Paul Fitchett helps train future teachers as an education professor at UNC Charlotte, and he's a former teacher himself. Fitchett joins us now to talk about the likelihood that teachers will leave the state and what that means for our public schools. Well, thank you very much for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
You recently wrote a column about what's happening to education in North Carolina, and I want to ask you about some of the specifics. But first, I wanted to sort of just get your overall impression of the climate that you see for people who both work in public education and the millions of families in North Carolina that really rely on it.
The first word that comes to my mind when I think of this is somber. I just left a classroom yesterday, actually, working with some public school teachers up here in Cabarrus County, and there really is just a sense of being beaten down, of being deprofessionalized. And once again, another year without raises, the taking away of the master's degree. It's just a sense that teachers are being scapegoated for a lot of the other issues going on. In terms of the sense I get in the community regarding parents, it's really interesting. You know, a lot of these issues tend to be very partisan, but I think across the board, people are recognizing there's some serious red flags regarding some of the legislation's recent moves regarding public education in the state and the potential damage it could do to the future of our school children.
For folks who don't know, you have an interesting history with the public education system, including your current position as a professor, but also some personal experience in the public school classrooms.
Yes, I was a school teacher in Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools, and I was also a school teacher very briefly in Wake County. I taught at Middle Creek High School, and I got my doctorate at UNC Chapel Hill. But I also got my undergraduate there and my master's, and I was a teaching fellow. So, I mean, I feel like I'm fairly vested in public education in the state. I actually attended Apex High School, which is right down the road from you guys.
Well, let's start with one of the last things you said. You mentioned that you were a teaching fellow. That's a program that has been abolished by this General Assembly after winning many awards, after getting folks like you to actually enter the teaching profession. What are your thoughts as an alum of that program about that specific cut?
Well, I think it's sad, and it's sad that it had to come to that. I think that the Teaching Fellows was a great program. There's plenty of research and anecdotal evidence to show that it's sustainable, that the individuals who enter the Teaching Fellow program stay in education and remain invested in education, and particularly in the state of North Carolina. And it's just really a shame that they've chosen to cut that program and gone with other programs which really don't have the same level of sustained association with student achievement and with maintaining quality teachers in the classroom.
We had Superintendent of Public Instruction June Atkinson appear at a luncheon here recently, and she pointed out something which I thought I had missed. It was an article in Education Week last year that talked about, as public schools generally are doing a better job, even with their warts and problems that we all know about, but they're generally doing better. North Carolina, the graduation rate is an all-time high, and yet
right.
Yet there's still all these attacks on public education. How do you explain what appears to be a paradox?
This is not a new trend. Public education is consistently demonized when there are dips in the economy or if there's some kind of culture war going back to the 1970s, the 1950s. I mean, even at the turn of the century in the 1900s, people were complaining about education, right? So this is not a new trend. And I think a lot of it, unfortunately, is partisan-based, and I think a lot of it, unfortunately, is agenda-based without really looking at the evidence. And as you pointed out, North Carolina, the graduation rates are at an all-time high. And if you look at North Carolina compared to other states, on national assessments, like the National Assessment for Educational Progress, you see that North Carolina is either a leader or a middle of the pack. We're not at the bottom. And so it's just fascinating to me that this kind of like attack on public education in general, which I think is truly unfair.
And yet Governor McCrory, I heard many times on the campaign trail, say that our public schools are broken. And Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger has a letter, which I don't know if you've seen, which has been in many newspapers around the state, saying it's all about union members trying to get more money.
Which is odd to me because in North Carolina, we're a right-to-work state, and our unions have, even though that they're advocates, they have very little teeth when it comes to collective bargaining. And, you know, we're not in Illinois, we're in North Carolina. I don't know how well that really represents the true situation for teachers in the state of North Carolina.
You mentioned you were in a classroom with teachers. Tell us a little bit more about what they're actually feeling. I mean, it might sound obvious to folks who like us who follow this every day, but what's upsetting them for this new school year?
Well, once again, teachers are pulling out of their own pockets to pay for their supplies. They're being asked to administer these tests. Many of them have had serious issues. The common exams that were used last year, they're having to redo them. So the teachers are feeling a lot of pressure, and they're getting no pay for it. So they're getting all of these extra activities. The state of North Carolina just moved to a new program called Power Schools. Every teacher in North Carolina is having to get professional development on this program, additional to their time for planning. And once again, they're not getting paid. And so there's just this sense of being beaten down. And so one of the things that I have seen and what I've been hearing from some teachers is what they're doing is they're literally leaving one school system and going to another because that's the way they're able to get their pay increase. So if you leave one school system where your salary's been frozen and you get hired in another school system, you can actually make your steps. And so what that does is it creates an imbalance and a revolving door policy in schools. And we don't want that.
How much longer do you think that we can take these sort of attacks or budget cuts in public education? This is, I guess, you know, we had the recession, we came out of it, there was a little bit more revenue available. The General Assembly and the governor chose not to spend it on public schools. Given your history in the public school system and how much you know about what teachers are going through and what you used to go through as a teacher, how long can we continue to sustain this?
I don't think very much longer. And I say that because in my own experience in teacher education, what I'm seeing a lot are students who are contemplating leaving the state. We see individuals, some of our best students, looking for jobs across, in Tennessee where they could automatically make more money, or South Carolina or Virginia where they can automatically make more money. We're losing our talent pool of some of our best teachers, those who are the most marketable. And that's really, really dangerous for the future of our public education system, which, by the way, was for years considered to be one of the best in the southern United States.
And finally, before I let you go, it feels like there's a couple things at play. One is you mentioned that sort of the attacks historically, and then there's the desire to cut taxes and shrink government. And then I guess given the passage of a voucher scheme this year, there really is an ideological assault on our schools, not just a financial one.
Very good point to finish with, because a lot of these voucher programs, they're very ideological. And if you really look at the evidence, there is almost no evidence to support that they're successful. You hear governors tout that they're successful, but then when you look at the pockets of students, what these programs tend to do is they tend to bolster the middle class and the very wealthy who can move their students around as chess pieces to different schools. But the lower income students, those individuals who don't have those resources, are not able to move around. So it creates literally pockets of segregated schools throughout various districts. And that's dangerous. And if that happens to North Carolina, where we're already seeing some resegregation, particularly in our urban areas, in our school systems, then this could have a very damaging effect on public education and the quality of public education available to our student populations.
Well, let's hope some saner minds eventually prevail in Raleigh. Really appreciate what you're doing, and we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Up next, a national expert on voting rights weighs in on North Carolina's new voter suppression law. Stay with us.